In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. There is so much pain and misery in this world because so few people have grasped what the Lord was talking about in the gospel reading today. I'd like to read a few of the verses prior to the gospel reading so you can get a little bit more of the context. But I say unto you which hear, love your enemies, do good to them which hate you, bless them that curse you, and pray for them which despitefully use you. And to him that smiteth thee on the one cheek, offer also the other, and him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid not to take thy coat also. Give to every man that asketh of thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. And as ye would that men should do unto you, do ye also to them likewise. For if ye love them which love you, what thank have ye? For sinners also love those that love them. And if ye do good to them which do good to you, what thank have ye? For sinners also do even the same. And if ye lend to them of whom you hope to receive, what thank have ye? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love ye your enemies, and do good, and lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the Highest, for he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Be therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. And when it talks about turning the other cheek, sometimes people get confused about what is being said, and we have some Christian sects that take this to the extent that they believe that Christians are never supposed to defend their families or to fight for their country, and that is not the teaching of the church. The teaching of the church is that what Christ is talking about is in personal disputes, you turn the other cheek. But if someone is trying to kill you or your family, you have a right to defend yourself. Now, if you're a monastic and you don't have a wife, you don't have children, you choose to let them kill you rather than to defend yourself, that's a noble thing for a person to do. But on the other hand, if you're the father of a family and you let people come into your house and kill your family and don't raise a finger, that's not a noble thing. There's nothing noble about that, because you as a father have an obligation to defend your family. But even under such circumstances, and even in times of war, you don't cease to be a Christian, and there are limits to what a Christian can do in good conscience. There was, in the Texas Revolution, there are many examples of people who didn't behave in a Christian way as a soldier, but one of the best examples was when a Mexican colonel had 50 cavalrymen, and he was not far from here, because the Texas Congress had just elected an interim president, and they had moved the government to Harrisburg, Texas, which is where Harris County gets the name, and not far from Houston. And so this colonel was tasked with trying to capture the government to help end the war in Mexico's favor. And he came upon the interim president just as he was pushing off in a rowboat. And they were within range to where they could have easily shot him. But the colonel saw that his wife was in the boat. And he said, "Don't fire, because it would be dishonorable to risk shooting a woman." And President Burnett actually also showed what Christian chivalry means, because he stood up in the boat, because he wanted to make sure that if they did shoot, that they shot him and not his wife. But we have so forgotten that. Of course, many religions and cultures never knew it in the first place, because only those that have been touched by the gospel would think about your enemy. But you know, when you fight a war and you fight it in an honorable way, you are actually showing love to your enemies. You're showing, there's some things I won't do. We're fighting a war. I have an obligation as a soldier to do what I can to win this war, but there's some things I won't do, because I'm going to respect your wife, I'm going to respect your children, I'm not going to do dishonorable things. And the nice thing about that is that when a war ends and you behave that way, you can have reconciliation, because both sides will respect their opponents. They'll know that they fought noble men, even if they defeated them or if they were the ones that were defeated. If you look at what's going on in the Holy Land right now, we have two sides. And of course, we have Christians, a small percentage of the population, but Christians that are caught between these two sides, unfortunately. Both of them feel like they're the aggrieved party and that the other party is the one that's done horrible things to them. And unfortunately, both sides can cite a long litany of atrocities that the other side has committed. And you could ask, who started it? Well, that's another question, but one thing you could know is that the people who started it are all dead. How do you stop a cycle like that? The only way you can stop a cycle like that is by repenting of the things that you've done that were wrong to your enemy and asking for their forgiveness and for that other person to do the same. But it takes people who've been touched by the gospel to be capable of doing that. Otherwise, the only way that cycle ends is because you wipe out the other side and you become even worse than you thought they were. You might temporarily end the cycle by subduing your enemy and keeping them, you know, under your control, but as long as they're still alive, they're going to find some way to get back at you. So it's only through repentance and forgiveness. When Christ talks about loving our enemies, that doesn't mean that we have warm, fuzzy feelings about our enemies. What that does mean is that we behave in a loving way to our enemies, even though we don't have warm, fuzzy feelings towards them, because that's what it means to be a Christian. That's the only way forward. And I would point out that it's also true in a marriage or in your family relationships or relationships with your friends. When you've come to a point where you've had such an intense break with that other person that the relationship seems like it's coming to an end, there's only one way to end that cycle, and that's through repentance and mutual forgiveness. And if you are a Christian and your spouse is a Christian, that means that if you're both behaving like Christians, there should never come a point where that marriage has to end, because you should know that that's the way Christians behave. Saint Sophronia of Essex said this, "I am a sorry wretch, as the Lord knows, but my pleasure is to humble my soul and love my neighbor, though he may have given me offense. At all times I beseech the Lord, who is merciful, to grant that I may love my enemies, and by the grace of God I've experienced what the love of God is, and what it is to love my neighbor. And day and night I pray the Lord for love, and the Lord gives me tears to weep for the whole world. But if I find fault with any man or look on him with an unkind eye, my heart will dry up and my soul will sink into despondency. Yet do I begin again to entreat forgiveness of the Lord, and the Lord in his mercy forgives me a sinner. Brethren, before the face of my God I write, humble your hearts, and while yet on this earth you will see the mercy of the Lord and know your heavenly Creator, and your souls will never have their fill of love. Amen."